Browns fans, secure your Cleveland Browns season tickets for 2014 today. Place your deposit to lock in the best seats and prices. Don't miss your chance to join the best fans in the NFL at First Energy Stadium. Visit ClevelandBrowns.com or please call 440-824-3434 today. All right, we had a chance to sit down with Browns special teams coach Chris Tabor. Let's give that a listen. Okay, we're efforting that. Okay, hopefully we'll get that with us. In the meantime, 216-578-0850, 216-578-0850 to give us a call or tweet us at Browns_daily. And we love your barks from the pound. We've got Megan Rock here, who is tweeting throughout the show. She will be putting together the Browns Daily Wrap, which will be posted a little later today on ClevelandBrowns.com. Yes,
well, why don't we go through some of the sound from the press conference this morning. Casey, we good with that?
Maybe we're not. Casey, are we good with anything? At this point, we're not good with anything. All right, so here's what we'll look at. And we'll get these hiccups figured out as we kind of go through this. But let's talk a little bit more about how the staff is constructed and what we heard today. And I think some of the important points that were brought up today during this news conference, Nathan, I think one of the things that really, among many, that stood out to hear from all three coaches, coordinators who spoke today, and it was interesting because you and I noticed right off the bat, not surprising, most of the first, I don't know, three, four, five questions were directed at Kyle Shanahan. Obviously, he was the star of the group, and more interest in his takes on things than those of Jim O'Neill, even though it mattered, the defensive coordinator, or Chris Tabor. They got their share of questions, but nobody got more attention than Shanahan, and not surprising that he did. I thought he was on the question of how to handle not having a quarterback, not know who your quarterback's going to be. He's still in the very early phases of studying those guys. You know, this is not something that he's got down yet. When I say studying guys, college players, he's only been here a few days and taking a look at the quarterbacks that are on this roster, including Brian Hoyer.
Well, I think it's very interesting that they talk about the fact that, you know, as an offensive coordinator, you only look at the defensive side of the ball in your preparations. You don't really look at other teams' offensive players unless you're looking at them in free agency or in the draft. I thought that was interesting. And then another thing I thought that was interesting from the morning, and hopefully we'll get to hear about it later on, was just that how much Jim O'Neill, and I would assume Mike Pettine, wanted Barkevious Mingo at the number 8 spot for the Buffalo Bills last year. So they are very excited to get to work with him this season.
Great story that Jim O'Neill told in that press conference.
Yes.
That is what, and he was trying to persuade the decision makers, so his wife was making cupcakes kind of for the Bills.
Barkevious Mingo. Right,
and she made Barkevious Mingo cupcakes.
Yeah.
Which I hope she does for the Browns and particularly for Mingo to know the love that's there from his new defensive coordinator. But, you know, it's a vital thing to see him embrace Mingo because we really, as the year went on, the questions actually increased about exactly what can this guy be. Was he truly a good fit in Ray Horton's scheme in the way that 3-4 was run? We thought initially he would be, and we thought just given...
And he started off like gangbusters.
Right, started like gangbusters. Just tear after the quarterback and worry about little else. But the truth is you have to worry about other things, coverage being a big one, and that was a problem for him. But I think in this scheme, the multiple fronts that this team uses and how outside linebackers can be put inside and work from inside out, I think those are important at ways that you can maximize production from a guy like Barkevious Mingo.
Right, and I think that they talked about in the press conference today, Jim O'Neill did, getting the most out of the guys in their front seven last year and really – emphasize. I mean, if there is one key thing that they are going to do, it is really break down the strengths and weaknesses of their players and make sure that what they do is accentuating their strengths and hiding the weaknesses, accentuating the positives, putting them in the best position to succeed at the things that they do the best. And I thought it was also interesting. They want to be smart enough in their scheme that they can create one-on-one opportunities. Now, last year, I will say there were some one-on-one opportunities, and one of the things that we got very upset or frustrated by with the defense was the lack of winning in those. So these guys are going to have to get coached up, maybe improve their technique and continue to learn and develop. And if you can get Jabal Sheard, if you can get Barkevious Mingo and Paul Kruger in a lot of those one-on-one opportunities, hopefully this year in 2014, they will be able to win. Why don't we do this, Torres? Why don't we take a quick break? We'll come back. We'll have special teams coordinator Chris Tabor. Then at 1:45,
hopefully,
we'll have Dane Brugler from CBSSports.com, and then maybe we'll kick off the second hour with the new offensive coordinator.
I like that plan,
Kyle Shanahan.
I hope our folks who are working with us at KNR love that plan too, because we've got good stuff for you. We promise. We've got it there. Hopefully, technically, we can get it from there to you. That's our next step, and we're really, really hopeful of that. Vic Carucci and Nathan Zagura, the show is Cleveland Browns Daily. We're driven by Liberty Ford, and you're listening to ESPN 850 WKNR.